Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Good Old Yankee Ingenuity here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, we got some interesting mail from a guy named Jeremy Bell. He wrote to us because here's what happens a lot. Someone calls the show, mm-hmm. and we're racking our brains trying to come up with an answer.
Yeah, as we do always, yeah.
You know, we're hemming, we're hawing, we're stalling, we're asking what color the car is. And then you say something like, well, it can't be a bad oxygen sensor, mm-hmm. because if it was, the check engine light would be on.
Exactly.
And the caller says, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, the check engine light's been on for 6 months. And that's what prompted Jeremy Bell's note to us. He says, after hearing yet another caller forget to tell you that the check engine light had been lit for weeks, I've concluded that manufacturers need to rethink this whole concept.
Yeah.
Perhaps otherwise intelligent people ignore the check engine light because it fails to create any fear of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah.
Therefore, I suggest replacing the light with a series of 4 warning lights. You ready for this, he says?
Yeah.
The $100 light.
Oh, so it comes on, it says $100.
Says $100.
Okay.
The $500 light.
Yeah.
The $2,000 light.
I love it.
And the light that says, pull over and take off the plate.
I love it.
Now, he says this will need some fine-tuning for different vehicles. A Porsche or a Ferrari's first light would have to start at $1,000 instead of $100. And a Hyundai Accent's first warning light would be $10. And an MG could skip the first 3 lights and just have the 4th one that says, take off the plates. And it could be set to just come on at random.
Yeah, because it's always a good idea to take off your plates if you're driving an MG, right? Great idea, Jeremy. And it's ideas like this.
Excellent suggestion.
That keep us coming back every week. Look, if your car's been trying to warn you about something, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Allison from Dayton, Ohio.
Allison.
Hi, Allison. With a Y or
an I with one L.
Oh, got it. Okay.
An I.
Dayton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I go to school here.
Oh, you're a student?
Yes.
Studying what? What are you studying?
Oh, goodness. I'm making up the major, and I call it photography and community studies.
What do your parents think you're studying? What do they think they're paying for?
Yeah. Brain surgery.
She's okay with it.
They're okay. Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, so I have a 1997 Toyota Avalon, and she's a great car. But about a year and a half ago, the back passenger door stopped opening from the outside. And then 6 months ago, it stopped opening completely. And I have no idea why it won't open. And we made it work with 3 doors. It's just odd.
So just one door won't open.
Wait, has the check engine light been on?
No check engine light.
Well, we can't help you then. The check engine light hasn't been on. What do you expect from us?
So when it doesn't work, if you're on the outside, what happens when you try to open it?
You can pull as hard as you want.
And like, the handle moves. It's got one of those handles that's recessed that you
right.
pull up on.
Mm-hmm.
And it moves.
Yes.
And if you operate the lock manually from inside, you can do that too, right?
Yep.
And that moves.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what's wrong.
Nope.
That's what you called us.
Yep.
Well, the lock is broken, and it's broken in the lock position. And that stinks because you should have addressed this when you could still open the door from either the outside or the inside. Now that you can't open it from either, you have 2 choices. Either you could ignore it and have a 3-door car.
Yeah.
You know, which ain't so bad.
No, it's unusual.
Or you can have somebody try to open that door by taking off the inner panel, which ain't easy.
Uh-huh.
Especially when the door is closed.
Right. That inner panel is made to be removed when the door is open.
Okay.
But someone could do it. Someone could do it.
Yeah, we usually manage to do it by taking the seat out.
Uh-huh.
But it ain't going to be cheap. So you've got to decide how crucial is it that this door open for you?
Yeah.
I mean, is
Yeah, well, someday when the car has an accident and it's laying on its side with the other door down and this door the only one that you can escape from.
What, are you some kind of a pessimist? You're thinking of the worst case scenario.
That's what it is.
And it's underwater too, right?
And you're underwater.
So the car's lying on its side at the bottom of the lake.
And the only way you can get out is that door.
Yeah, well, you can't roll down the window because the power windows won't work because everything's been shorted out.
Shorted out.
Jeez, Allison, you got to do it like today.
So yeah, yeah. What kind of shape is the car in now, otherwise?
I just put 100,000 miles on it this summer, and
wow.
I mean, she's in pretty good shape, I think.
Well, it's not even... probably will go another 100,000.
Yeah,
it's not even halfway through its life, so I think you should fix it, and I think you're looking at least a couple of hundred bucks.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to pay for it?
I don't know. I kind of... The 3-door is a conversation starter.
Yeah, the thing is, when the other back door breaks, then they're not even going to be able to get the seat out. Then it's going to cost you $1,000 because they'll have to go in through the trunk. But you call us back when that happens. We'll come up with something clever. Maybe the check engine light will come on and we'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
See you, Allison.
I would do
Thanks,
it.
Guys.
I would do it.
Bye-bye.
I mean, why
Bye.
Not?
Why not, right?
Yeah.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jose from Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, Jose. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing terrific. What's going on, man?
Oh, well, I've got a 95 Subaru Legacy, and either the valve covers or the camshaft covers are leaking a little bit of oil.
Well, those are the same thing. The valve,
oh, really?
Yeah, the valve covers and the camshaft covers are the same thing, yeah.
Ah, so...
How do you know this? Someone told you.
No, I actually... being from MIT, I have this kind of foolish confidence that I can diagnose a situation, even though I'm not a mechanical engineer.
Do you have a degree in literature? Like my brother does?
No. It would be worse if it was physics.
Yeah, it would be worse.
Yes, but actually it's biology, which is almost as bad.
Go ahead. So you think you're leaking from your valve covers?
Yes, I discovered it because it's leaking onto the exhaust system that's underneath.
Yeah.
And so... I want to replace it myself. And I'm just wondering, is it something I can do? Am I necessarily qualified to do it? And if I
Oh, you're qualified, all right.
You're definitely qualified.
Have you ever changed the batteries in your flashlight? You can do it. No.
This is relatively easy.
But before you go ahead and screw up your courage here, mm-hmm. I got to tell you that I don't think that that's where the leak is coming from.
Ah.
It's more likely to be coming from the camshaft seals on this car.
Oh.
Oh.
Those are the ones behind the timing belt, right?
Bingo. Uh-huh.
So I'd have to figure out how to remove a timing belt and all that fun.
You could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't sound as enthusiastic now as you did a few minutes ago.
Well, as I said before, it's I am a bio major and
yeah.
I want to learn how to mess up my car properly. But
I mean, you don't.
Well, this might be a good first step.
Well, I would just go ahead and replace the valve cover gaskets.
Just for the heck of it?
Well, I mean, it's something you can do, even if it's the wrong thing. At least you'll find out if it's the wrong thing.
In other words, it's a confidence builder.
It is.
And you'll find out.
Well, you're not a geek, are you?
How many pencils are in your pocket right now?
None. Actually, I don't have any pockets right now.
Nope. Oh, you don't.
No, I am...
Are you dressed?
I'm actually at work, so...
Naked?
Am, yeah.
So you could... I do think my brother's suggestion isn't bad. I mean, it's certainly something that will help determine whether or not you are capable of going to the next step. In other words, once you replace the valve covers...
Mm-hmm.
If you break off the bolts and the thing leaks worse than it did when you started, then you might consider that you're a failure and you ought to move on to some other endeavor as a hobby and leave the car fixing to some professionals. On the other hand, if you can demonstrate to yourself that either you've fixed the leak or didn't make it any worse than it was, then you might have sufficient courage to go ahead and take the two plastic covers off and you could look and see if there's oil dripping out.
Oh, if it's collecting in the cover or something.
Exactly.
That's it.
It's collecting in the covers. And then what happens then is it drips down, and as you drive down the road, it gets blown onto the exhaust system. But it could be the valve covers leaking, I will admit. And you ought to give it a shot.
Okay.
And that's not that hard to do, but it'll take you a few hours. Yeah. You have any vacation time coming up in case it, in case it gets out of hand?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. My girlfriend's coming back from her business trip on Friday, so I've got a couple days before she like sees my car in 15 pieces and looks at me and says, "You're not allowed to drive her car."
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, so you have her car right now that you can drive?
Yes.
What does she have for a car?
Oh, she has a brand new Scion with, I think it's a year old, with only 4,000 miles.
Well, replace her valve cover. Practice on her car while she's going.
Yeah.
Now, I think you can give this a shot. Go to the Subaru dealer, by the way, and buy the valve cover gaskets, okay? And then give
and
it a
good
shot.
Good luck, man.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, and let us know your make out.
Oh, I'll see. I'll take some pictures of me covered in oil.
All right. Hey, good enough.
Yeah. Make sure you shut the engine off when you do this.
Good luck, Jose.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. How are
Jackie.
You?
Jackie in Portland, Oregon.
So it must just be good old C-K-I-E, right?
It is. None of that
none
fancy
of those C-Q-I-Y-Z.
Yeah, no.
I know. It's so silly.
It is. It is. I like the way I spell my name.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Well, I had a really cute little Honda Civic 5-speed that I got a couple months ago, and I couldn't get over being terrified of driving a stick and, like, planning my route. Like, how can I get where I'm going without stopping on a hill? So I went ahead and sold that car, which was a great car, and I got a little Ford ZX2.
What's that?
It's a sporty Escort. It's
right.
Actually an Escort,
oh,
but it's
yeah.
a sporty model.
Yeah.
And the problem is the car came wearing this cute little black bra.
Yeah.
And I really like how it looks.
From Victoria's Secret.
Victoria's Secret, that's right. It's
yeah,
so cute.
They sell that. It's on page 31. I happened to see it just today.
Yeah, specially made for the
ZX2. Escort.
Yeah. And I like how it looks, but I don't know if it's okay to wash. I haven't washed this car, and I've had it for almost 2 months, because I don't know if I should take the bra off it when I wash it, but I'm afraid if I take it off, I won't be able to get it back on. So I have a bra problem.
Oh, Jackie.
Well, what does your instinct tell you?
Well,
I mean, what would you do? Never mind.
Never mind. You know, I started to say I've never had a bra on a car, and I've never really understood the purpose of them. Although I know what the expressed purpose is, it just seems so damn silly to me. I can't believe it. And I would guess, first of all, I mean, if it rains, you don't take the thing off.
Yeah,
so you
but
take
it's
it through
not
the
like
car
being
wash
pressure and you know soap and everything.
Yeah, but if you're gonna wash the thing, you want to get all the grime and grit out of there. It's like taking a shower with your underwear.
What? You don't do that? That way you wash your underwear. That way you never have to change your underwear.
Yeah, but you're always.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it.
But it takes 3 hours before you can get dressed.
You gotta run around the house.
Run around the house, stand in front of the fans.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I was thinking. It would feel a little soggy, but then I thought, I'll never get the thing back on.
No, you won't get it back on either, and that's what you should do. You should take it off, wash the car, and throw that stupid thing away.
That's what my boyfriend said, and I said, no, but I like how it looks.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
What's wrong with you?
Well, it's just, normally I don't like them, but this car, because it breaks it up, because it's this sage color, and it's got this black bra, and
yeah.
It's really kind of cute.
Well, I wonder how much the thing costs.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Like what? $100?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it does.
I mean, if you go through the car wash once, the thing is not going to fall apart. You might be able to go through the car wash 5 or 6 times.
Well, you got to worry about shrinkage.
Just on a low, you know, a low setting, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Will it hurt my car?
Oh,
I mean,
it won't hurt the car.
It won't
hurt the car, except that if you did it for many times, water would certainly get trapped between the car and the bra.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I mean,
you may have to contact the bra manufacturer to see what they have to say. I mean, so there must be some literature about this someplace.
I have tried to find it, and I've had no luck. I've even sat around in my car close to another car, like a fancy, expensive car that has a bra on it, waiting, like in a big store,
waiting
for somebody to come out and say, "Aha, what do you do?"
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. I mean, I'm sure that there must be many of our listeners who have. Maybe not, Maybe I was thinking
that it's really a dorky thing, huh?
Well, it's a BMW thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
And quite honestly, the people that had the real high performance cars, I mean, come on, yours really isn't the high performance car.
Yeah, it's an automatic.
Yeah, and an automatic to boot. Must chuckle a little bit when they see you go by and say, "Oh God, she should take that thing off."
Well, here's what I would suggest: if it were my car, I wouldn't want to have to go through this agony and angst, among other things. And I would, even though you like the look of it, I would take the thing off and paint one on.
There you go.
Huh? That way
idea.
You get the look.
There
no one will
go.
Know.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry when you go through the car wash.
Now that's an idea.
There you go.
There I go.
There
I guess all my problems are solved.
See you, Jackie.
Good luck, Jackie.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's time for us to take a break, and when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler.
Yes, indeed.
Do you happen to remember it?
No, indeed.
I didn't think so, but it was about a farmer with a 40-pound stone.
Sounds painful.
Different kind of stone. Anyway, we'll be back with the details and the answer along with more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
I love my car. Can't wait to get in it. I drive pretty fast, about twice the speed limit. Think the 4-second rule's a little overkill. 1-second tailgating's quite a thrill. Driving faster, multitasker. Hey, let's drive a little faster. Stay awake, eat my fries and cheeseburger while I drink my chocolate shake. I steer with my knees, cause I've got no hands left, and I crank up the tunes till I'm going deaf. Driving faster, multitasker. Hey, let's drive a little faster.
And even though the NPR nurse checks her Petri dish to see how the laryngitis germs are coming along whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. You don't remember this, huh?
Well, I remember something about the stone, but I always going to break the stone up into pieces.
I'll repeat.
Yeah, give it to me, yeah.
A farmer had a 40-pound stone that he used to weigh 40 pounds of feed with. You know, he had a balance scale, put the stone on one side and pile the feed on the other side. And when it balanced, he knew he had 40 pounds of feed on one side.
Yeah.
Got it? You with me?
Yeah.
Anyway.
If it wasn't 40 pounds of feed, then the cows would get mad.
And
have mad cow disease.
Oh, yeah.
And say, hey, it's only 38 pounds. What the hell is going on here? McDonald.
A neighbor of his, Frank Staples, I think, borrows a stone. And when he returns it, he says, I'm terribly sorry. I dropped the stone and it broke into 4 pieces.
Oh.
The farmer says, don't worry. You actually did me a favor. And he explains that the pieces of the broken stone could now be used to weigh any item, assuming those items were 1-pound increments, from 1 pound to 40 pounds. So if he wants to weigh something that's 1 pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 4 pounds, 5 pounds, that.
He can do it with these 4 stones.
4 pieces and the balance scale.
And the sum of which, obviously, is 40 pounds.
So he can't weigh anything heavier than 40 pounds because when he puts the stones all together, they weigh what?
Well, he can stand
on it. Put his thumb on the thing. So the question is, what are the weights of the 4 individual stones, and how does the farmer's system work? And I think the hint I gave is, how would you weigh 2 pounds?
Yeah, that was the hint that you gave.
Clearly, one of the pieces has to be 1 pound. I think we'll all agree on
and
that.
I think the next one will be 3.
That's good. Why do you think so?
Put one on one side and the 3 on the other, and that's 2.
Huh? Yeah, you'd put the 1 pound weight on one side to weigh a 2 pound piece, the 2 pound thing on that same side, and the 3 pound weight on the other side.
Exactly. 3 pounds is obvious now because he's got the 3 pound thing, right?
Right. 4 pounds?
4 pounds is easy. He puts the 2 together.
He's got 3 and 1. And
right? Now we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, you're not. And the only way I came to the
answer... Well, I'm going to go 1, 3, 5, and whatever's left, 29 or something.
Well, that's close,
31.
But it's wrong.
No, we don't need 5 because we can play around to get 5.
Yeah.
With a bigger number.
Yeah.
Like we could have an 8 and we could do 5.
Oh, you're so close.
And we could have a 6 and we could have.
Well, the way I stumbled upon the answer by figuring this, there has to be. This
you
has to
stumbled
be,
by tripping over the book that the answer is in.
That's what it was.
That's what it was.
It was in the bathroom. That somehow I figured out it had to be powers of 3, because if it broke into 4 pieces, there are 4 powers of 3 between 1 and 40. 3 to the 0, which is 1, 3 to the 1, which is 3, 3 squared, which is 9, and 3 cubed, which is 27.
They don't add up to 40 by any chance.
They do.
Oh, my God. And so they do.
And that's what they are.
9.
1, 3, 9, and 27.
Well, 9, if you put 4 on one side and 9 on the other, that gives you the 5.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, trust me, it works.
And it works.
Whoa. Pretty cute, eh? Who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Amy Gould from Hamilton, New York. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Amy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a set of CarTalk reusable shopping bags.
Yeah, you know, these are the bags that you always forget and leave in the car. But if you did remember them, you could do your food shopping with them and not have to waste a bunch of paper or even worse, plastic bags every time you went to shop, you know?
This bag happens to say Car Talk on it and has several messages from us, including instructions on how to use the bag.
Yeah, it says like step 1, remember bag. Step 2, use the bag.
Use the bag. Right. And on the other side, it says, my other reusable bag is from a good NPR show.
Well, I would hope so. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up, so don't change the cat box just yet. In the meantime, we'll take your car questions at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tammy calling from Bakersfield, California.
Hi, Tammy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be on your show.
And we're so excited to talk to you.
Bakersfield is where Perry Mason used to send Paul Drake all the time. He'd taken a big lung full of air. Paul, I need you to go to Bakersfield. I don't know what the heck was in Bakersfield. I've been there, and there ain't much going on.
Wait. Tammy is not old enough to even know who you're talking about.
Oh, no. I used to watch Perry Mason when I was a kid.
Yeah.
A kid.
Yeah, well, Tommy was watching him when he was in his 40s.
You only sound about 20 now.
Anyway, right. What's going
That's
on,
beside
Tim?
The
All
point.
All right, guys. Now, this is going to be something that is just going to freak you out, I think. But,
go ahead.
My boyfriend has a 1992 Buick Roadmaster.
Uh-huh.
The Ride.
The Ride. We call them Buick Road Monsters.
Yeah. Now, what happens is this car will be sitting in the driveway, not moving, and it will growl at you. It goes, I'm not kidding. It's not on. And I'll walk up to it, and it will go, I cannot figure out what this is.
You know, now, it's funny because Buicks have done that for a long time.
They have. Growling Buick.
I'm thinking it has some unresolved territorial issue. It doesn't like me in the driveway.
Ah. Well, it might be growling when dogs come by, because dogs famously pee on car wheels. You know, so it might have some kind of a sensor. A dog comes by and it does a... I bet there's not a dog in the neighborhood that comes near your car.
But this car is scaring the neighbors.
Oh,
they hear it, too.
And how long does the growl last? Like 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last night, I replicated the problem.
Oh.
I went out, and I opened the door. I sat in the driver's seat, put the key in the ignition, just touched the key to the ignition, and then I stood up real fast, and it stopped.
Right.
And then it was coming from under the left, in the vicinity of the left rear wheel.
The left.
Boy, now see, you have done a lot of homework. Most people would just call us and tell us, I hear this funny noise, I don't know where it's coming from, I don't know what it is.
And they'd leave us the twist in the wind. But not you, Tammy.
Boy, that is beautiful.
Well,
thank
We want callers like this every week.
Yeah, we did, except it's unfortunately the last little. How confident are you that the noise is coming from the left rear?
That's the only thing I didn't like.
Yeah.
That is the best location I can determine, because as soon as I stand up, it stops.
Okay, I think it's coming from the left front, actually.
Okay.
Here's what I think is wrong. This car probably has an air suspension system.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Which can level the car when you put weight in it.
Uh-oh, okay. I need to lose weight.
Well, it may be. I was trying to figure out how to delicately ask you what you weigh. Yeah.
Well, she weighs 210, but she's 7 feet tall.
Actually, I'm almost 6 feet tall.
You are?
Yes.
Well, this car has sensors which tell this system to come on. And it can come on anytime and level the car. So if there's a leak in the system and the suspension in the rear starts to go down, in other words, the rear bumper is getting too close to the ground, it'll turn on this pump, which is under the hood. And
exactly it.
Yeah, I'm assuming the pump is in front. I could be wrong about that, in which case, you know, it could be coming from the back. But I'm 90% sure that the pump is in the front.
It is the pump. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and you can replicate this even better by opening up the hood, maybe, and having your boyfriend sit in the trunk. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or bounce on the bumper or some such thing.
Okay.
You know, and you should be. So it doesn't mean there's anything necessarily wrong with it, but if the system is leaking down too fast, then the pump will come on more than it should. I mean, ideally, the pump's not going to come on at all unless you put weight in the car.
If it's happening without anyone in the car or anyone even near the car, then it probably has a little teeny leak in it somewhere.
I see.
Yeah, but I would think that's what it is. But on the other hand, if it's keeping the dogs away, you may want to leave it.
The next-door neighbor said to me, "Does that car have gas?" He wasn't talking about ethanol.
He wasn't, no.
Well, that may be it.
Tammy, we wish you the very best.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right. See you later.
Talk to you later. Right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Todd from Rollinsville, Colorado.
Hey, Todd. What's cooking, man?
Well, I've got a 1975 International Scout.
Really?
Yes, and it's more of a yard truck than anything else. I was out picking up wood with it, firewood, a couple of days ago. And I drove it over to the site, no problem, get back in it, throw it in gear, and nothing. Won't go forward. Drive, second, first, wouldn't function at all.
So, it's automatic transmission?
Automatic transmission.
It was automatic. It's now no transmission.
So it was automatic. It's now no transmission. I actually ended up driving this thing home with a full load of wood, floor to ceiling, wall to wall, 4.5 miles of mountain roads here in Colorado, in reverse, like any good hard-headed American would do. And haven't been able to get it going since.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, so reverse works.
Reverse works great.
Well, I'd get some really big mirrors.
Yeah.
And go for it.
Yeah.
Take it right on the highway.
So you said this is your, would you classify it, your garden truck or whatever, your yard truck?
It gets used to plow the driveway. It gets used to pick up wood a couple times a year. That's about it. And I did forget to mention, it's funny you said about the mirrors, because in being a work truck for all these years, it has absolutely no mirrors. They've all been smashed off by now.
Well,
time to get some new ones. No, I'm afraid you need a transmission.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not unusual.
Oh, he knew that.
Yeah, you were hoping that we told you number 7 fuse burned out. The fuse that controls all of the forward gears. Yeah.
I mean, no. I would go down to my local junkyard and see if they have a Scout with a transmission in it.
They're getting pretty tough to come by.
Yeah, when you go to the junkyard to look for a transmission, maybe you should just look for another vehicle.
Well, you'll be there, you know, you might as well.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, what did you find this one? Or did you buy it new?
Oh, yeah, I bought it when I was 3 years old.
So you came across this and you fell in love with it. These were kind of cool vehicles.
They're really cool. And, you know, I live right on the Continental Divide. I take it up four-wheeling once in a while. I do have a bit of nostalgia for it, but...
No, it's a great vehicle.
I don't know how much I want to dump into this.
Well, the problem is that even when these were popular, they weren't very popular.
No.
you know, so it's going to be hard to find any kind of parts. If you decided to have the transmission rebuilt, you'd have to, first of all, get some transmission mechanic out of the old age home and get him to do it. So you might find that it's cheaper to just get a replacement vehicle than it is to try to fix this thing.
Yeah, and also, if there's a good junkyard around, they have a network, and they might be able to find one anywhere in the United States, and they can get it to you.
Okay.
So go to a junkyard. If they don't have one, ask them to put it on the wire.
Yeah, and if they don't hit the wire, doesn't help. See if they can put the Scout on the fire. That's where it's going to go. But look around for another car. I think it may be time.
All right. Sounds fair enough.
See you, Todd.
Good luck, Todd.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. I mean, with four-wheel drive and all that, it's going to cost a fortune. Even to replace the thing is going to be a fortune.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 30 years old.
Yeah. Think how bad you looked when you were 30. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Peter from Minneapolis.
Hey, Peter, what's going on?
Well, I got a little vermin problem with my wife's car.
Really?
She is a teacher, and she teaches 4th, 5th grade in Minneapolis. And
I can see it now. They had white mice as pets.
Close. It's a black and white hamster. Looks like a little cow.
Look, a little, really little.
But I've only seen parts of it because she bought it on Sunday, and it busted out of its little box while she's driving home, jumped
really?
Up her leg, bit her, and then disappeared up the steering column behind the Speedo cluster.
Bit her?
And it's been living there.
No, but did she go to a doctor?
No, I guess it didn't break the skin. She's tougher than that.
Oh.
Thick-skinned.
Thick skin. So what we're trying to figure out is, you know, she thinks that we should just leave it there and deal with it after it meets its cold, lonely demise here in Minnesota.
Yeah, because she hates this thing now, right?
She doesn't. She has a love-hate relationship. I kept saying, leave the door open, it'll go away. And she said, no, then it'll be eaten by cats or something.
Well,
so I said, let's take it into the shop and have somebody take the thing apart and get it out of there.
Well, I would just get myself a little dish and put some food in it.
Yeah, you need to have a heart trap.
Yeah,
have a live trap in the car.
Well, I'll tell you, if you came into our shop with this car, six guys would immediately pile into the bathroom.
Nobody wants to have anything to do with
this. Nobody would want to have anything to do with this whatsoever, exactly.
It comes out at night, and it does its business on the carpet, and then it goes in again.
Well, it's just doing its business, but it ain't coming out necessarily. It's just falling onto the carpet.
It's actually getting out because we had food down there leading up to the live trap.
Oh, you did?
Oh.
It ate all that food, but it didn't go in the trap.
Well, he's a smart hamster.
But now the car smells like hamsters and
droppings.
And smelly cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, you're going to have to sell the car after this. But you get a bunch of those pine tree air fresheners, and you can kill almost any smell.
Yeah, no, you'll take care of the smell once you get rid of that little...
Yeah.
So saying just don't try and take the car apart?
Right. I would I wouldn't try to lure them out with just cheese. I'd put on like a 3 or 4 course meal.
I mean, we were thinking of maybe getting a lady hamster, but then my wife said, well, we don't know what he is. So
you don't know what he is.
One of each sex.
Yeah. Right. Oh, then you'll have forget it.
No.
Then it'll be like a commune in there, man. They'll be smoking dope and everything. You don't know what it's going to happen.
And you'll have 20 hamsters in a week.
Yeah, no, you need to just, I think, a trap, but maybe some better lure.
Yeah, you need something to lure it out at night, and you'll have it in a little box the next morning, and then story's over.
Story's over. And if not, what about the aroma of a expired hamster?
No, you can't have him die in there.
No, you don't want
to. You've got to get him out. Whatever it takes. And
if
one piece of cheese doesn't do it, go for the 4-course meal.
The 4-course dinner. Do you know what? I have no idea what hamsters eat, but I'll leave that up to her.
Yeah.
He's going to eat so much if you don't get him right away. He's going to eat so much and he's going to get so fat that he won't be able to get out.
Well, that's what I'm worried about, yeah.
Yeah. You got a problem here. I can see that. Well, good luck, Peter.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, look, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
Hey, by the way,
uh-huh.
Did I tell you that there's someone who might be interested in my son's Fiat?
Oh, yeah? You settled on a price?
Well, not yet, but I did tell him that right at the outset that I'm not going to pay a penny more than $500.
Good man. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Sunday driver, there ain't nothing confessing.
And even though public radio interns decide to switch to investment banking whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Did I mention this is from my ceiling light series?
Funny, I had ceiling light problems in my house this week.
Really? New bulbs usually help. Well, this is exactly about that. You ready?
Go ahead.
Imagine, if you will, you have a long, long corridor as far as the eye can see. And in that corridor, attached to the ceiling, are lights, the kind that are attached to the ceiling and operated with a pull cord, you know, a chain or a string or whatever.
Yeah.
And there are gazillions of them. I mean, as far as the eye can see, there are maybe 1,000, 20,000, I don't know, 20,000 lights. Let's say 20,000 lights are on the ceiling.
So if I'm standing here.
You're standing at one end.
I can't even see the other.
You can't even see. It's too far away.
Too far away.
And they're all off.
Oh, that's the problem.
That's why you can't see them.
Yeah.
So somebody comes along and pulls on each one of the cords or chains or whatever and turns each one of the lights on.
Must take them a week.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Another person comes right behind that person and pulls the chain or cord on every second light. So number two, number four, number six, eight, da 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 da. You got it?
Therefore
turning all those lights off. A third person comes along and does every third light. So 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18. Oh no, someone comes along and does 4, 8, 12, 16. And of course, those people are turning some off that had been on and some on that had been off.
Right.
Okay. At some point, if there are, say, 20,000 lights, someone is going to come along, skipping along, to pull every 20,000th chain.
Yeah.
Okay. When that happens, some lights will be on, some lights will be off. Could you predict which ones would be on?
Wow. That's good. That's good.
Now, if you think you know the answer...
Right? I don't. I don't even think I do.
Do you think you know the question?
I think I know the question, yeah.
Okay.
That's
good. But if you think if the answer should come to you, write it on the back of an Arcade Legends full-size 300-pound gaming system with upright gaming console, Wells Gardner 25-inch monitor, 3-inch trackball, 2 joysticks, and 35 preloaded vintage arcade games, including... Asteroid, Centipede, and Missile Command. Bourbon must be building a game room and ship it overnight, please, to Puzzler Tower.
Overnight, even.
Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza. They must be putting the finished coat of paint on. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. But do you know what time it is now?
Time to take Bugsy's pilgrim suit to the dry cleaners?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to find out whether our advice was unassailable.
Or whether we can get them to settle out of court. So, who's our lucky player this week?
It's Charity from Portland, Maine, and her fiancé, Brian. Remember Charity and Brian?
You sure you weren't watching the Newlywed Game? You got the right show. What are you doing here?
Yeah, you'll remember them in a minute, because Charity, her fiancé, and her mother were on a road trip to Hilton Head, South Carolina, when they called. And I'm sure they had some kind of car question, but we dismissed that and zeroed right in on the real problem.
So your fiancé and your mother?
Yes, it's been an interesting ride.
Yeah, boy. How's he doing?
Well, they like each other better than I like them, I think, at this point.
Either of them, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we need to talk to your fiancé to see how he's doing, or do you think he's all right?
Well, we had to rush to find a payphone. I'm not really sure where he is right now.
He's outside banging his head against the wall someplace.
I don't know where they are.
They're all trying to kill each other.
Okay, so that was part one. The thing was, after talking to Charity, we felt like we only had half the story. So we encouraged Brian to call in too, which he did. at the very next rest stop. Remember that?
No, it's coming back to me.
As far as you're concerned, as far as you can see, the three of you are getting along wonderfully.
I noticed that nervous little laugh.
Yeah, we're getting along.
Are you getting along better with her mother than she is?
Definitely.
Definitely, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you're managing and you think you can make it back to Maine without a little blow-up of any kind, then I say more power to you, man.
Well,
you're a better man than I.
Well, she's a sweetheart, so.
Who, Charity or her mother? What a diplomat. The guy is either a saint or he's one of those guys who's going to go postal all of a sudden.
Well, look, I know they had a car problem, and we told them they needed a new clutch. But what I want to know is if all three of them made it back to Maine without any bloodshed. Guys, are you there?
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Charity.
Look, before we debrief you, confirm for our listeners today that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
We have not spoken.
Okay.
And they've not spoken to each other either.
And also that the answer you're about to give here on Stump to Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the plexiglass partition we sent you that goes between the seats.
That's true.
Okay.
So let's get the unimportant stuff out of the way. Did you need a clutch?
Yes.
Oh.
And it ended up costing a couple $100 less than you had actually estimated.
It's even better.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, now catch us up in the relationship. Is Charity's mother still living in your car?
No.
Brian, are you still talking to your wife and to your mother-in-law?
I talk frequently to my ex-wife.
Did something happen?
Yeah, you could say that.
Charity, are you his ex-wife?
I am, unfortunately.
Oh,
how long
well,
did
no,
this...
No. It's not unfortunate. It's fine.
It is?
Yeah, it's fine. Yep.
It is.
We decided after that road trip that...
This was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a bad idea.
So who paid for the clutch?
Yeah.
I think I might have.
But you're still speaking to each other, obviously. And how come you're in the same place right now?
We're not.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah.
I'm at the airport in Atlanta, and he's in California.
I'm in California.
And where's your mother, Charity?
She's in Denver.
I think these distances are good. I like these distances.
Wait, weren't you from Maine?
Yes, I'm on my way back to Maine.
So do you think that the road trip was the seminal event that led to the
breakup,
the amicable breakup?
No, the road trip actually turned out to be really fun.
It did. And
yeah.
So the road trip was not the cause of the breakup.
Oh, is that the way you feel too, Brian?
Absolutely. I think, if anything, the road trip was one of the better experiences that we
had. You know why, Brian? Because your mother-in-law was there. I think if you had your mother-in-law move in with you, that you could have avoided this nasty breakup. So you're all still friends.
Yes.
We are, yes.
And you talked to your ex-mother-in-law, Brian?
We've written letters to each other, I suppose.
Okay.
And we haven't really had a lot of conversations.
Okay, but you don't blame her for anything?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
What, my mother or me?
We're going to say bye now.
Well, first, I meant your mother. Well, see, this is very, very interesting.
But obviously, it seems like you're both happier this way. That
yeah.
Who kept the car?
I took the car. It was my car.
Oh, it was your car to begin with.
Yeah.
Brian paid for the clutch, and you got the car. Figures.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Take care.
Good luck to you both.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Charity.
Bye.
Gee whiz. That was shocking.
It was a shock to me. Usually we're instrumental in patching things up. And
yeah.
I don't think we were instrumental in anything. I think what was going to happen was going to happen between Brian and Charity.
I hope we weren't.
Yeah, I think if the mother-in-law had lived with them, everything would have been different, I'm sure.
No, I can tell you that doesn't work.
Look, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com. Or you can call now and stump us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888 888- 877-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Greg calling from Prescott, Arizona.
Prescott!
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
What's I'm doing up? Quite well. I'm a little nervous now, though. The last people I just heard on the show, they called you guys, and things didn't go so well.
Well, I'm a little... I mean, usually, you know, with all the information, we give the wrong answers often, but the outcome is almost always happy.
Well,
you know, and then to talk to Charity and Brian and find out they're divorced and they've, you know, they shipped the mother-in-law off to Denver someplace. You know, she's probably got her locked up in some... Oh, no, we don't want to know what happened to her, but I'm kind of down.
Well, I'm not worried, guys. I have a feeling that you're not going to, you know, affect my life as drastically.
You want to bet?
Well, I have a 1991 Mazda MX-6. It is an automatic, and it's got a little bit of a trouble.
Okay.
It stalls out on me whenever I stop for too long. So if I get to a red light and I have to stop, it will kind of putter, ba-doom, ba-doom, boom, and it stops and it dies. So what I've started doing is just putting it in neutral, and it's no problem. It just, you know, it revs up to about 1,500 RPMs, and then I put it back in drive when I need to go, and I go.
Wait, when you put it into neutral, it revs up to 1,500 RPM?
Yes, indeed. And if I put it into park, it will die. But if I put it in reverse, it will not.
Oh.
Oh, man.
If you put it into park, it will
die in park.
In the same fashion that it will die if it is just sitting in drive with my foot on the brake.
Yeah.
Now, you know it goes to 1,500 because you have a tachometer.
Correct.
When you put it in neutral, that you said the RPM goes up to 1,500.
Yeah, it sounds like it revs up like a little. It's maybe a little above its normal idle, I suppose.
And what happens when you put it in park? What does the idle then do?
It kind of goes up to that same level, but then it slowly dies.
And what about reverse?
Reverse? I could drive backwards all day.
It works fine in reverse, huh?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Now, I haven't taken this to see anyone yet because, you know, I can still drive successfully.
But somebody must have turned the idle. Oh, maybe not.
So you did not take it to someone who turned up the idle?
No, I have not.
All right, here's
okay,
what,
hold on I, then.
Oh,
I like it.
Oh, are you married?
No, I am not.
Well, forget it. You never will be.
Not if you keep driving this thing. I think what's going on is...
I'm with you.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, this thing has a vacuum leak.
A vacuum leak?
Yeah, a vacuum leak, which is causing it to stall. You know, the way this thing works, it's fuel injected, and the air that's used for combustion passes through an airflow meter, and that amount of air gets measured by this meter. It's a cool process, which I won't explain right now. But then the computer determines how much fuel to put in for that amount of air.
Okay.
If, however, air is leaking in from some other spot, and there are plenty of other ways for air to leak in, when that happens, then the mixture gets diluted.
Okay,
and sometimes when that happens, it can cause the engine to stall, and in many cases, it can cause it, in fact, to race.
Okay.
Except when you put it in park or drive, the vacuum leak is there, but when you put it in reverse, the vacuum leak goes away because what's leaking is something like the bellows between the air mass meter and the engine. And
the bellows, huh?
Yeah, there's an accordion-shaped conduit.
All right.
Okay. Or there's a hose attached to it that's leaking because when you put it in drive, the engine moves one way. And when you put it in reverse, the engine moves the other way.
Aha.
Okay. And when it moves in one direction, you're exacerbating the vacuum leak. And I would be willing to bet when it's in drive, you may even hear a hissing under the hood, which would signify a vacuum leak.
Huh.
And if you went around with your hand and felt where that vacuum leak was or even sealed it up with a towel or something.
We're talking duct tape here.
You're talking duct tape. Exactly.
You got it.
I knew you were going to make that leap. So if you find out what's broken, you can fix it perhaps with a piece of duct tape.
Oh, wow. Or possibly wrapping a lot of things with duct tape.
Exactly.
But it's time probably to bring it somewhere.
No. This is the perfect opportunity to buy that roll of duct tape and fix it. Brian,
if you're good, you might be able to hear the noise of the leak and put your finger, as they say, right on it.
And then once you've done that, it's a simple matter to, you know, you can cut, the duct tape is wonderful. You can cut it into strips. You can gang it together. You can pile one layer on top of another. You could build a pontoon bridge with it if you had to. So go at it, man.
I certainly will. And next time you hear from me, maybe I'll be married. Maybe it will even out.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, call Charity. She's available.
Oh, that's right.
See you, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the crotch chafe of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Daly Perotti, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Eiffel Tower, sweet and sour, whole wheat flour, kraut that's sour, champagne shower, bite and devour, happy hour, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Our short order cook is Diego Varese. Our staff oceanographer is Maureen Habitat. The head of our Jamaican crew team is Monroe DeBoat. Our staff Jeep driver is Jocelyn DeContents. Our director of long-term warranties is Beyond Apprehension. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the historic pothole preservationists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1144, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, lots of shows to download.
Yeah, remember, if you ever miss our show unintentionally,
of course,
you can always grab the podcast at cartalk.com.
Or download a previous show.
Sure, if you've got a root canal coming up and want to divert the pain to your ears, get access to our free Car Talk podcast and years of cheap downloads anytime you want over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though thousands of angry listeners decide to occupy their ears with cotton whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.